Sure.
Oh, don't forget you're on mute, Terry.
Can you repeat, please? I lost something.
There we go.
I would be very pleased to introduce Dalia Nakar. Dalia always offers me some wisdom, even when she's not trying to. And the continuing deep passion and commitment for coaching and coach training has been amazing. I have even seen her on a Segway, really wanting to learn how to go around Washington, D.C. that way. And I waved goodbye. I was the photographer, you understand. So it's a pleasure. Managing change is something that Dalia has been dealing with, as we all have, and she has taken the her competence and her ability to train and put it into a format that we can all benefit from. So thank you, Dalia. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. We almost missed it some months ago, right, Katie? Okay, so hi everyone, I'm very excited, and today's topic is managing change through coaching, and I want first of all to share with you why did I choose this topic. So first of all, I'm very interested in the essence of change, because I meet a lot of people that they make a huge change in their lives. They are retiring from their work. So this is a huge change. But I meet a lot of people that they also make changes in their life as other clients. So it's always fascinated me. And as a former social worker, we were called then the agent of change. Social worker is an agent of change. Oh, I'm sorry, something popped up into... Okay, sorry. So, and now also as a coach, I find myself dealing with this on different levels. It's about 30 something years that I'm dealing with this, and in the different levels, also the professional and also the personal level. And the second reason is I want to bring an hypothesis and examine it together with you, that the more we coaches, the more that we are willing to accept changes in our personal and professional lives, the more we can help our client change in order to achieve their results. So I put the focus on us at the beginning. So that's why I seek to explore together with you this issue of managing change through coaching. So when I say this, what comes, please, into your mind? Can you share some thoughts when you think about managing change through coaching? Don't forget to unmute.
I will start. Three words. I don't like. Four words. Change.
Who does?
I love change.
I love change.
The more change, the better.
Okay.
So for me, as many of you know, I was in the midst of maybe moving to Colorado and maybe staying in Virginia for about the last, almost a year. And I was leaving the decision up to my boy's mother. And so there was a bit of just a lot of ambiguity going on, a lot of change that wasn't happening. And so what I attempted to do, mostly successfully, was just be okay with that ambiguousness and just allow myself to be okay with whatever way the process was going to turn out. And it turned out, I am staying in Virginia, by the way, so I am a Virginian for the foreseeable future. But that was a bit of a challenge to just allow myself to accept rather than try to fight it.
To fight it, yeah. So to accept it is easier than to fight it for you. And you decided to stay in Virginia and not to change.
Right. Well, it is a change somewhat. I moved to a house and I'm now unpacking and getting things going. So there's always change.
Yeah, I know. I will talk about it.
I found change is surprisingly complex, that if I change something inside me, then I have to change some other things inside me. And then I also have to change some of my relationships, or at least adjust them so that there's get back to synergy. I find it helps if I visualize it being completed and it's working out well, and I get all kinds of little things I got to take care of in order to make the change flow.
So for you, change feel is complexity?
There's a complexity aspect of it that I need to address because it's interrelated with other things. So one change isn't just, that's it. It affects.
It has an effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to adapt and focus on those and take care of those too.
Okay. Thank you. Jerry?
When you say change, the first thought I get is that there are two kinds of changes. There are changes we choose, we start from inside. And there are changes that comes from outside because it's something we don't choose. So this is a difference which came in my mind now.
Right. There is a change from inside and a change that we don't choose. I will talk about it also in a few moments. Thank you.
For example, you spoke about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
There are two kinds of retirement I know. The one, it has to come because of the age, and the one somebody choose because can and decide this. So it's two different kind of changes.
Yeah, very right. Very right.
And what I was going to say, Dahlia, was that very similar to what Jerry just said, is that change that I make, I'm fine with, even if I've been pressed to do something differently. Change from somewhere else that happens to me, I now have to adapt in a different way. And so I'm trying to be less controlling because I don't always like change that happens to me. So I have that transition phase in between from going from here to whatever there is.
Okay. Thank you all. Wow. I could hear you more, but I want to go further. So if you talked about change that someone else asked you to change, so I want to ask to make some exercise, okay? So please, in your seats, please combine hands. You know what's combined hands? Yeah. Do it like this as you feel comfortable with it. Okay, and now I will count to 10. Okay, count to 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now shake your hands. Shake your hands. And combine them again, but in a reverse order. Aha! Are you fighting? Okay. Was it natural for you? No. Okay. I'm sure you feel some awkward, some strange feelings doing the other side. And it's not always comfortable doing something different from what we are used to. Right? So did you felt it. So somehow, this for me is the essence of change. Our brain has a fixation on something, and in order to change it, we need to think differently and then to do something else. And that's what we did with the hand. oh, wait a minute, I have to think, what do I do with this hand and with that hand? So, and then I put them somehow in the reverse order. Okay? So as you said, Jerry and Denise and everyone, as and Phil, you said, we have a lot of changes in the personal and professional life that they are inevitable. We get older, we retire, we become parents or grandparents, and the children are leaving, or like you said, Scott, we have to go to another country or state or apartment. So there are a lot of changes in our lives anyway, okay? So every day, actually every minute, we change. And those changes, they happen in any case. We don't decide always we don't decide that now it's going to be this or that. It happens. So what happens when we want to achieve something? And for this, we need to change our habits or the way of life or the way of thinking. Like Phil said, this is a complex. It's not only the change, it affects other parts of us when we want to achieve something. We want to change something in our life. And that is what we do with our clients. They come to us to achieve a certain results, to have great results in their life, but they find that they have to change all their lives or part of them. To change their thoughts, to change their beliefs, to change their inner or self-management in order to be in the place they want to be. So before we start working with our clients about change, I would like to invite us to work with ourselves. So let's do another small exercise, please. When I say the word change, I know, Kathy, did you want something? Oh, sorry. When I say the word change, what comes to your mind? Please do not think about changing hairstyle or changing a car, but changes that they made you change your habits, like quitting smoking or something bigger than that. So please write down the change that you would like to have now in your life. If you just nod your head a little bit, so I will know that you finished. Okay, thank you. And now I ask you, please, to write down the thoughts that come to your mind in the context of this change. Everything that comes to your mind. Let's take 1 minute. What thoughts? And what are your feelings? Can you write a few feelings that you feel about this change? And I would surely like two or three of you, or maybe more if you have, to share if you would like to share, please, your thoughts and your feeling about it? Katie?
So a change I would like to do is to simplify my life and become more organized. So I'm starting to forget things, or to forget where I put things. And I mean, from 1 minute to the next, I want to simplify things and get it organized. And some of the thoughts that come to mind is, oh, it'd be so wonderful to have everything simple. And it also, where do I even start? And it's going to be hard. And what new habits do I need to get into to make this happen? And the feelings range from very tired just thinking about the effort to very excited about, boy, it would be wonderful to have this. So, and everywhere in between.
So it goes from this side to the other, a range of feelings and a range of thoughts.
Yes.
Positive and negative together.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I would like a magic wand, please.
You got it.
I still have one. Okay. For me, it's a process. For what I'm thinking about, I've been living in this condo for 20 years, which I suddenly woke up and said, oh my God, what happened? And I have a lot of stuff, and I would like to move things along, clothing, tchotchkes, little things in, around here. So I've found that a place to bring books, a place to share clothing for the homeless, to move things to places that help other people, and then to be able to, as Kathy was saying, having a space to breathe in again. So for me, it's a process of assessing and doing some research and then doing some actions. So my feelings are that I will be able to work on some concrete things. So this is a concrete process for me.
Yeah. I can hear the practical things, the boxes, and the giving to them and to this, the ideas about it. Thank you. Another one? Last one?
Yeah, this is Janet, and I'm looking at the change, and my change is to be more focused on self. For the last 2 years, I've been focused on so many other people, and I've neglected some of the things that I need to do for myself. But my thought is it's a conflict because I enjoy giving myself and doing for others. So I'm feeling right now very stressful. Sometimes it's hard to manage both doing for myself and not doing enough for others. And so I'm feeling really guilty about that. And that's really a conflict for me. I'm trying to weigh, you know, am I being selfish, thinking more about myself and not others, because I really enjoy doing things for others. So that's, if I could just find a way to manage both, that would work for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I didn't get your name. I don't see it here.
This is Janet. I'm on the phone, not on Zoom. I'm on phone, so you can't see me. You'll see me soon.
in Toledo. Good. Very good.
Okay.
So you talked about, and if I heard, it's also some conflict of value conflict, right?
Value conflict. That's correct.
And I heard the word stress and guilty.
Yes, both. Okay.
Thank you. So, thank you all. So, you have thoughts, you are feeling, you have values here. So, let's focus for a few minutes on the feeling, okay? Because they seem to move between some enthusiasm and excitement, Katie, like you said, and stress and fear and guilty, and they are moving from one side to another. And so if you have, Katie, like you said, enthusiasm or excitement, you said, so why things you didn't do things until now? I mean, if someone says that he is excited about something, why didn't he do things? This is a question to explore with the client, with us also. And On the other hand, if you have stress or fear from changing, what are the thoughts that associate it? They are associated with it. Because there are a lot of thoughts and a lot of beliefs that we can hear here. Some it's something about energy, maybe about time, maybe about a lack of faith that I can do it or I cannot do it, or the conflict of values that we hear here. Okay? So we are experiencing how change is not easy in our lives, even if the future that will appear after the change will be much better. And all what you said is for a better future. You have your reason why you want to change. Okay? So if so, and I'm talking about ourselves, so how do we expect our clients to make changes to achieve what they want if we take back sometimes from the change that we want to do? There is something in our power or the power of coaching that we coach for client if we don't do it. If we have a lot of fears, a lot of reasons why not to do it. And I want to give you an example. 2 days ago, after 4 meetings, my client asked me to stop the process. And I suddenly asked myself, why did it happen? And when she last meeting, she committed to an exercise plan. She had an exercise plan, something that she wanted to change in her life. She didn't know how to do it. She always had the reason why not. And she committed to herself, but it was probably also to me as the coach. You know that clients, they committed to us, not always to themselves, that she will start her plan. And she did. She said that she did. But this was too much for her. Something was taken from her. And I believe that the power of complaining and the feeling of guilty and that she is not okay, this was something that served her somehow. And it was taken the minute she could act like she planned, it was taken from her. And she was confused. It was some kind of her comfort zone. This is the analyze. I was analyzing it and I thought about it. I thought that something huge happened. She changed her being because she succeeded to do something that she didn't a long time ago. So I believe that she was not used to be successful in this life area. Maybe, and then I thought to myself, maybe I didn't explore with her enough. And I didn't go down and I didn't enlarge deepen her awareness about the being that was needed to change her life and to do what she wanted to do. This is something that I am with this thought for about 2 days. So I just wanted to share it with you.
Dalia?
Yeah?
I'm put into mind of the productivity cycle in the Sun program.
Mm-hmm.
People are very enthusiastic sometimes at the beginning when they're planning. It's so exciting. Maybe with some misgivings, but just the bloom of the future. And then when the pedal hits the metal and they have to do it, there's that shift of, oh my, what am I into? And also, I think when we're exploring what the change will be for the client, it's a good time for them to go into the future, mm-hmm, and imagine some of the environmental human being reactions that they may encounter. Because if we do what is called a future pace right then, or an eco check, they may circumvent some of their disappointments and challenges later.
Yeah. Thank you, Charlotte. Terry, you wanted to say something?
Yes, please. Yesterday I had an interesting awakening. I was talking with a prospective client, and she said she's interviewing many coaches because she wants to find the right one. No pressure, of course, in continuing the conversation. No attachment to outcome. And she said, let me tell you what the last person did. The last person said to me, between now and maybe when we start working, if you choose me, I would like you to create a vision of the way you would like it to be and put all the details in it. And the prospective client said to me, she totally didn't get me. If I knew what was in my vision, I wouldn't be looking for a coach. And I said, well, I'll be bold. I'll tell you what I recommend. Ask yourself what intrigues you. And if I never see you again, that's fine. Good luck. Have fun with it. And she said, oh my God, yes, what intrigues me? We've had 5 emails back and forth since last night at 9:00 in the evening. She wanted an exploratory as quickly as possible, which is very hard right now because my calendar is packed. But it was, I don't just jump to vision anymore, because a lot of people are coming to me not knowing what their vision is. I just wanted to share that because it's fresh.
Thank you. But you are talking on a general vision, right? What you just said.
Well, it turned out to be both general and career.
And career.
Yeah.
Okay, I will also talk a little bit about vision it, to vision the future after the change. I will bring it also in a few moments, so thank you. So when I talked about managing change, when I talk about managing change, I invite us to become friendly with changing ourselves. I put the finger like this to us, okay? So to take a good look at ourselves and notice what happened to us when we want to change something. Because, I don't know the word.
Say it in Hebrew, I'll help you.
Hi, Ron. I didn't see you.
Oh, dear.
Hadadiyut.
Let's say connection. Yeah.
Connection that goes from both sides. Is it okay? Between our thoughts and our brain. This we know, okay? They affect each other. And especially those who have been planted in us from a very young age. We created, in some years ago, we created a context, maybe in our childhood, and we live in adulthood in the light of this context. And sometimes we don't even check this context. We are sure that this is the right one that goes with us all the year along from childhood. And I remember myself at the age of 9 standing on a stage in front of hundreds of children in the school, and forgetting the paragraph I should say. And the teacher comes to me, and in front of all the children, she says, it's your turn, you have to say your paragraph. And I was paralyzed from that moment. I couldn't talk. And probably a decision was made in this moment on my ability to speak to the audience. Because for years I couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it. So only when I was a coach and I understood the work that I should do with my thoughts and my brain, changing all the system in my brain, I could, of course, speak to people, even go live on national TV. So for me, it was, wow, a huge moment. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something? No. Okay, sorry. And later, okay, I have the same issue with writing. So what do I want to say, that being stuck or being, sometimes we are unwilling to experience something that is beyond our comfort zone. Okay? And it comes from those old decisions that we made. Mm-hmm. So how does it resonate for you? I would love to hear one or two for about this issue.
Dalia?
Ken? Yes.
I agree with you, but I think that there are also some other elements that we can take into account. Some of them is, you know, changing who you are sometimes is terrifying, because as you become more and more successful, it's very hard to lose yourself in order to be something else. And you have to take that into account. And what else mean this area is to know that there's a learning curve. A learning curve in everything new that you learn, and if you try to create a new habit or create everything new. So take into account that it's going to be very, very uncomfortable in the beginning, and you don't know what you don't know. And then it would be uncomfortable, and then it would be better, and then it would be natural. So I have to take that into account. And that's one thing that I wanted to add.
Mm-hmm. Just one?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, you're right. I agree with you. And there are probably a lot of things that they are connected to this. I just wrote one thing and you added the other, so thank you. And in terms of coaching and us as coaches, I'm not saying we need to be a superman or superwoman and to stand up to any changes we want. No, I'm not saying. I do say that the more we stretch ourselves to a place of coping with change or dealing with change or increasing our ability to change our faith and to change our thoughts and everything, so the more we can do it, we can better help, first of all, our clients. And we can also expand our circle of clients by activities that most of us, we are not used to do, like marketing. Who likes marketing? Yeah, well, not all of us. Okay. So now that we focus on ourselves, I want to focus on our clients. Okay. So one of the things that, in my opinion, is important to work with the client at first is to examine together, of course, with the client, their ability to deal with change. Because we find some clients that they are very conservative, and they prefer very small changes in very small steps. Find clients that they are very practical and prefer to deal only with changes that they are useful for their purpose. And then we also have clients that they are adventurers or inventors or creative, very creative people and initiators. So most of them probably will, they will be willing to take risks and experiment things. It will be interesting. How do you find yourself in those three places? Conservative, practic, or adventure and taking risk in changes? Kathy, you said that you love changes.
I am. I'm one of those initiators. Yeah, I find it exciting. I love the adventure of it. And I'm way off the scale on that, by the way.
So the scale is not enough for you?
No.
Okay. Anyone wants to define himself as a...
Can I ask Kathy a question?
Of course.
Sure. The thing that gets me most about change is when things that I've set in place are working for me and it changes. And I feel like I have to go backwards to find a new system, a new procedure. You don't have that experience that that's an uncomfortable or a negative feeling? Question mark.
No, I do not have that experience. Mm-hmm. I am very easily bored. And so when things get put into place and they're working very nicely, it's like, well, okay, this is boring. and so I may even invite things that come in and destroy the order just so I can have a change.
So you like hidden flags, for example?
I love hidden flags. It's very exciting to go find them.
Okay, right? So I've learned
that's why
something
here.
Now I know what I want to
change. The hidden flags together.
Yes.
Because I'm also an adventurer. I just move things just for the pleasure of moving them. So it's...
Wow.
I have another problem. In my mind, in my thoughts, I am an adventurer. But when it comes to, you know, to do it, sometimes I see that I'm a little bit, I'm not as adventurous that I think of myself. So reality hits in my face sometimes. Because in my thoughts, I can do and change and do everything. But, okay, we are different kind of people, of course, our clients are different kind of people. So it's important also to remember us as coaches and maybe remind our clients that we are constantly changing. Change is a constant thing in our life. And in fact, the permanent in our, this is permanent in our life. So basically we are dealing with change every day, every minute, like we said at the beginning. And I would like to talk about two competencies that I think that they are related to work with our client in a change process. It's first of all is expanding the awareness, and of course by powerful questions. So please, if we can examine together how we can expand the awareness about who is the who of the client in the context of dealing with change. Because I think that the who of the client is very important in change. Very important of managing him or herself through this change. So what will you ask a client? That's a powerful question to gain more awareness about the who of the client in change. Do you have some ideas?
Dahlia?
Yeah.
There may also be a question of the who of the coach in the same situation, and because we see things through our own lens. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I have a change averse client, it's I have to be aware of my feelings of impatience maybe with that client. It's like, what's the big deal? Just change.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody who is a coach who is more risk averse and more conservative may look at an adventurous client and say, oh, shouldn't you hold back a minute and think about the risks? So looking at not only the who of the client, but the who of the coach, how does our lens affect what the client is going to do going forward and how they feel about that change?
Yeah. So to make space for the rhythm or the right, or the or what's, or what kind of client of person this client is, and what kind of person I am, and if I can, with my energy about change and wanting change as something very important in my life, how does this affect on our client? Thank you.
One thing I'd like to say, you know, because talking with Kathy, how she's very adventurous and versus very risk adverse, but I have a potential client who's scared to make a change. She says, I keep myself really busy so I don't have to confront things. Because where I am now isn't good, but it's comfortable. And so that asking the questions, what kind of life could you have once you do confront those things?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right now you're keeping yourself crazy busy, so you don't have to. Well, once you confront it, how will your life be? And trying to future project. But it remains to be seen how this she's thinking about it and all of this. But it's very just resistant to change. There's some people are actually scared to death of change because they're very comfortable where they are. And that is, my job is not to reassure them, is to get them to feel comfortable with making that choice is what I see. Trying to envision how could things be different? Because I asked her, what would it be worth to her to have this done? Oh, all the money in the world. So it's worth all the money in the world to make the change, but you're scared to do it.
So that brings into my mind that if someone is scared to do the change, and we ask, what life would you have after you change? It would be very scary. Even the thought could be very scary. So as coaches, what can we ask and what can we do to lead her, or to not to lead her, help her lead herself to this change? Because it can be very scary to think, even to think that my life is going to change. Like, it's not me anymore.
What part of your life purpose supports you to make changes? And that's, you said, the who. So that brings up the being part of life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this on myself now regarding changes and procedures and stuff. So I'm my own guinea pig as we speak. Give me good stuff. More.
I would also... Sorry. Please, Terry.
I just said more questions. Oh, Terry, did you finish? I'm sorry. Yes, she did. I just said, let Terry have more. Ran?
Can I add one? Mm-hmm. I would ask him, what would be the consequences if you won't make the change?
Good one.
And
good.
Who will you be if you won't make the change? And who will you be when you make the change? Maybe this is something that is connected to the who.
I'm writing it down. It's such a long word, consequences. I don't know how to write. Okay, so who will you be if you don't, and who will you be if you will make the change? Yeah. Thank you. Charlotte?
There was an NLP man named C. Roger Bailey who had a test for this, and he had the categories same with difference and difference-oriented. And the way that you sell the most soap, that advertisers sell the most of something where the largest percentage of people are, is same with difference. So Ivory soap is new and improved. And that captured the most audience. It might be to lay out some little thing, like I like yours too, from conservative all the way to adventurous, but some grid where who are you on here? Where do you find yourself? And that would be a secure place to begin the conversation. I like what you did. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I find that some clients, they are very scared to lose what they know, the certainty for of their life, and to bring something new to their life, even if this is something that gives a lot of, brings a lot of good things to the life, to their lives. So I always ask myself, what is the right way with some, with different kinds of clients to help them not to be scared? Because if we are talking about feelings, being scared, I think it's okay to bring the feelings and to talk about it and to give place to the feelings that people feel about it. I think we as coaches, we have to learn maybe to give more place to feeling in a transition, in a change process. Because those feelings are very universal, very common, and it is okay to feel what you feel. So I believe that we have also to look at our feelings when we talk about change with people, because sometimes we are scared to touch this or that subject about the change. We are scared to, we have fear maybe to talk about it sometimes. We don't, if we have a negative approach or feeling about change, we bring it to the coaching space.
Dahlia, I have another comment, and that is, I think it goes deeply to values. As you know, I lost my my husband of 60-year marriage, and what this change has required of me, some were decisions, some, the great part of it was inevitable and was not my decision. But where I went in my own coaching myself was I went to my deep value, and that was, you can feel sad and you can go back and remember, but what does that profit you? And I started with a mantra of face forward, and that has propelled me to joy in many areas, and I try to not visit the past very much. But the point of this is, I think that yes, we explore feelings and then we go to values.
I want to ask you if you read my things that I wanted to bring, because this is my next subject, values. But thank you. If I continue what you said, sometimes I would like to spend more time with my clients on the feelings they have about the things they have been missing or have missed. I don't know the right English to say. And I find myself asking sometimes a question like, can you please tell me how much time do you think that we need to talk about it? And that way I let the client to manage those feelings and to be responsible for managing the feelings. So thank you that you reminded me. And from that I want to go to values. Values are very, as we talked before about the conflict of values, values are very important in this process of change. And there are a lot of values involved in the, this process. Can you think about values? Can you share some values that come into your mind?
Well, Dahlia, they could be any values. It could be freedom. It could be connection. It could be family. I mean, any value could be impacted by change.
A lot of values. Mm-hmm. Right. So how can we ask a question about values, powerful question about values, that would help our clients to go to manage their change? What kind of questions can we ask?
What occurs to me is, what are your most relevant values to this issue? And then follow that up with, okay, what are the priorities of these values in relationship to this specific issue? You know, which is more important, the, you know, making money or deepening your friendships, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So there are a lot of powerful questions that we can ask, questions like, how does this value mean to you, or how do you maintain your values through change? Okay. And also, I'm curious about what do we do in a conflict of values? Because there are conflict of values in change. What do we do then with our clients? How can we, first of all, what is our attitude or feelings towards conflict of values? And how, what can we do with them, with the clients? What can we ask them to help them go through that conflict, because the conflict is sometimes make us blocked and not do something about changing the way we want. Okay?
You know, I think you say something very important now, Dahlia. The highest service we can offer clients is to help them explore how values, feelings, beliefs relate to change, not from the point of view of helping them resolve the conflict,
mm-hmm.
but how to explore it. So when they encounter something in the future, they'll have a process for exploration.
For other changes.
Yes, yes.
And to add what you said, it's not only to explore, it's also to help them to experience and to make it okay for experiencing it. I think it's very important, the experience mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. feelings, of the values, because you sometimes when you talk about values, and especially when there is a conflict, you experience a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Many years ago in Sun, we had a technique called the force field analysis,
oh.
which helped, right? And that for me was the most eye-opening in looking at my relationship to change, because it identified why I like change and why I don't. And it brought up the issue of values and what was most important and what were my feelings. So if any of you know the force field analysis, that's a useful strategy.
Yeah. I know another technique that is working for me now, because I'm engaging in a mm-hmm. big change. For me, it's not a change, it's a transformation. Change is doing something better or different than the past. Transformation is changing who you are or shifting who you are. And in a place of such big transformation or change, doing is not helping much. So I spoke with some coach and she told me, I ask you not to decide for this like next 4 months. The only things that you have to decide is who you're going to be on the way. So choose what are the main beings that you want to be and see what happens when you be that. So I chose to be love and to be authentic. and things are opening. I'm engaging in many things and I'm trying new things, but the main things, you know, to do is to explore the being, which is a very nice experience for me.
I like it very much what you just said. So to end it, just and we talked about vision, after the exploration and the experiencing thing and the clarification and gaining maybe new awareness, we can start exploring with the client about how the change will take place. Okay? Or start to vision it, to see it, to feel it, to look at it. And we also, of course, that's what we do. We help the client to come close to the possible future, the future after the change. And a little bit after the exploring and experiencing, the vision will be, as I experience, the vision can be less frightening. Like you said, Terry, before you gave the example. So the small vision after the change, I mean, a vision after a small change, how would it look like? Mm-hmm. How would it feel?
So break the change into milestones, mm-hmm. and feel each every milestone.
I think when a person is very frightened and there is a lot of conflict about the change, I think this would be the appropriate way to coach.
There is also reminding, asking the client, have you ever made a change in the past? I don't know if we can go to the past, but have you been successful in changing before? And you learned to talk when you were little. You learned to stand up and walk. You learned to read. Those were changes. So maybe you could find something closer, but what has been your experience so far? And what are the values that you formed, and how are you being with the changes you've made to get you this far?
Right.
Charlotte, and just building on what you said, I think we can also use metaphors. Dealing with change on something which is very close to his heart, and it would be much nearer for him, and it will help him to draw the line from this place to the other.
Right. So I think we are on time, and I would like, if something that you want to say about change or about what we just talked, to close our teleclass today.
I want to add, Dalia, and at the beginning, although my connection was gone a little bit, but you put the questions about thoughts, about the change that I want. And one thing that came to my mind, it was, what do I lose? What should I let go to make this change? Mm. And now it's like, going back to this question and, actually, everything that we said, and also the last few things, like splitting the changes into small achievements, small changes, I can see it in a better way, and I pretty much relate it to how I deal with my clients when they want to change or when they are stuck in changing.
Thank you, Christina.
I understand, yes, that the envisioning process comes later rather than the first thing. But after they've done this exploring and clarifying, I've learned that it is important for me to really get clarified about what my vision will be when I've accomplished it, and what I feel like. I'm kinesthetic, so I have to get up and move around and feel it and be it. And it brings all kinds of details to my mind so that I then start, a plan starts evolving. Oh, I've got to do these things. I've got to address this. And primarily, it's also a motivation. I'm pulled forward. Yes, that's what I want. that motivation, it pulls me out of being stuck and fearful.
I didn't mean to suggest that visioning is in a particular sequence. It's individually different. I wanted to give an example where visioning is not always the first thing that needs to happen. We go with whatever the client brings and their style. So just want to clarify that. Thank you, Dahlia, very, very much for a lot of gifts from the universe.
Thank you all for contributing to this and to me also. Thank you
very much.